take a good deed and throw it in the ocean.
What does that mean? That doesn't mean anything.
It's a Muslim proverb that I like. That is, do a good deed and then don't expect to get anything back from it. Just throw it into the ocean.
Yeah. Get out of here, deed. Who needs it?
Yeah. I never liked you anyway. Go on, get.
Oh boy, it's Encyclopedia Brunch. My name is Tim Dobbs. With me, as ever, through the internet, this little set of pipes we call the internet, it's Catherine Kogert.
Hey, it's another set of pipes, through a set of pipes to your set of pipes, the third set of pipes being your ear canal.
A very special kind of pipe.
Pipes on pipes on pipes.
That's called an annulus, when there's like a pipe inside of a pipe.
It's called a donut.
Those are similar terms for the same thing.
I'm a little hungry.
It's called a bagel.
Donuts after this. What?
Yeah, there's got to be
I
an all-night
like
donut shop.
As much as donuts.
Really? Really? Eh. Really?
Really? Hmm. In truth.
Seems wrong.
Well, what kind of donut? What kind of bagel? Let's play what kind of donut, what kind of bagel. I made up a theme song.
Oh, no, yeah, that's great. You really put that last little tag on it, too. That's great. So, welcome to What Kind of Donut, What Kind of Bagel. I, as always, am your host, Tim Dobbs, and our announcer, Catherine Kogert.
Hey, it's great to be here. Here. I also do monster truck rallies. Go on.
Our first contestant today, also our announcer, Catherine Kogert.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Tim.
Yeah, of course, we like to do contestant bios first here. And it says here, let's see, you are a school teacher in West Virginia. And it says a fun fact about you. You don't know how to play this game. So that's going to make this as interesting.
All right, don't you tell me the rules of the
round
game?
Round one, beginning. Oh. Boston cream, yes or no?
What? No. What
round
kind of what
two,
kind of bagel?
It's poppy seed cream, yes or no?
Poppy seed cream. It's going to be a poppy seed cream for me, Tim. Thanks.
All right, then let's tally the scores from rounds one and round two. Ding! All right, it looks like you have won what kind of donut, what kind of bagel?
Da-da-da-da-da!
And as the theme plays, I'm reminding you, as always, I'm your host, Tim Dobbs, and please get your bagels cream cheesed or buttered. So,
what are your houseplants?
I mean, honestly, that's probably more appropriate for those like daytime game shows hosts where it's like,
oh, that's so, don't be sad. Don't be a sad.
I'm not being a sad. It's just like, listen. I'm working
You're
from home.
Multiple sads, excuse me.
At this time in my life, I'm working from home a lot, and I find that it's like nice to like get some stuff done around the house in the middle of the day.
Like, oh yeah, I see what you're saying. I guess. Whereas, like, it's not like you're gonna call the vet right after Price is Right is on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I guess I shouldn't be watching Price is Right while I work from home, but here we are. As always, doing my. My very important job, seeing how that new Drew Carey is doing.
You're doing the Lord's work.
Yeah. What is he, 6 years in?
I think more than six. It's gotta be.
I don't know.
Gotta be.
It's gotta be.
I would be surprised if he's still doing it.
Really? You think they've passed it on to some sort of donut or bagel?
Yes, to a real bagel donut of a man.
Louis Anderson?
Steve Buscemi.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's what they say about him. He's a real bagel donut. Let's see.
What do we do on this show?
We talk about bagels, donuts, and topics. And our topic this week, you might confuse for a bunch of poppy seeds laid out on a piece of paper. We're talking about Magic Eye. That's right. The book that you really, really wanted to get it out of the elementary school library because it was not actually reading. Magic Eye.
Oh, heck yeah. Pictures. And then you're like, oh man, they're all gone. I guess I'll read Goosebumps.
Really, that's Goosebumps. I was always afraid of Goosebumps. I'm still a little afraid of Goosebumps.
They're kind of scary. They're the real "Are you afraid of the dark" of the literary world?
Yeah, still afraid of "Are you afraid of the dark" too. Just the question.
So scary. I've had nightmares about that show.
Really?
As an adult woman, had nightmares about old "Are you afraid of the dark" episodes.
That's the thing about watching something early on. You're front loading it. Something scary. Mm-hmm. Now it's just like, well, I guess this scares me forever. Put this up, wrap this up in my bindle stick, carry it with me through life.
I'm thinking the snakes thing. Loyal listeners will know part of my mythology as a character here on this show is that I'm terrified of snakes. I think the snakes thing might have been Indiana Jones.
Sure. Why did it have to be Indiana Jones?
Yeah, why did it have to be Harrison Ford?
Because he's very charming and roguish.
And charismatic.
Yeah, delightful.
Oh my goodness.
We love
him. Just want to take him home and eat him up with a spoon.
That's probably frowned upon legally. Let's see. Yep, Harrison Ford is great. Backtracking to Magic Eyes. were you big into Magic Eyes in elementary school?
Oh heck yeah. Great group activity.
Is it? Because
I felt that. Yeah.
For listeners not aware, Magic Eye is a optical illusion in which a sort of out there and wacky pattern starts to look like maybe it's some sort of 3D shape. And you have to sort of cross your eyes in order to look at it. But that, I mean, that having to cross your eye thing is like, that's why I find it's not the great group activity, is because it's like exclusive. It's like, I'm going to look at this. Can you see it? No, I can't see it. Aha! I am privy to special magical worlds. It's a donkey.
That's why there's not one, but two different Harry Potter Magic Eye books.
Really?
Yeah.
What are the backgrounds in... because the traditional, the canonical Magic Eye, it's just sort of like trippy, psychedelic landscapes.
Yeah. Magic Eye 1, 2, and 3. It's stills from the film.
Really? And then when you do the Magic Eye thing, a shape pops out.
Yeah, I can only presume. I couldn't do any of these tonight because every single time I looked at them, they've made me nauseous, which kind of makes me feel like I've become an adult and I've lost some abilities I had as a kid, you know, kind of like how kids are more in touch with the spiritual world.
Right.
They can see things that adults cannot.
They can see things in the Magic Eye realm.
I can't see ghosts anymore and I can't do Magic Eyes anymore.
Right. Which is like a
ghost. I can't hear that pitch anymore.
Yeah, you can't be chased away by shopkeepers putting up one of those pitch emitters that is too high for adults to hear.
Nope, I'm going to shop at your store.
I'm going to spend the capital I've earned with my earning power. Doing adult things. Enunciating. Well, I guess it doesn't seem like you should lose the ability to do a magic eye. I mean, you haven't lost the ability. It just makes you nauseous now.
Yeah. And I'm kind of hoping it's just tonight because I don't feel super great tonight.
Right. Sure, but what
maybe
if...
I think maybe there's just a low level of nausea that I'm experiencing right now that I'm fighting my way through mentally, and having to do a magic eye is distracting me from that effort. That's what I'm hoping is happening right now.
I mean, could be.
I would like to do a magic eye sometime again in the future.
You don't want this to be like you got too high and now it's like, oh, it's always going to be like this. It's the same as normal, but I can't see magic eyes, man. I mean, I don't know. That seems pretty reasonable, because what's going on with a magic eye, the basic concept is it's taking advantage of the fact that your brain figures out how far away something is by looking at it with two different eyes that are like a couple inches apart from each other, and then noticing the like slight differences, the slight differences in the angle that you see. Then it like kind of maps those together, kind of triangulates it, and it's like, oh, okay, I know where this thing is in space. And normally that happens automatically, where your eye tracks to when you focus on a thing, like, you know, if you kind of look out in front of you and you just pick an object, both your eyes point to it, and then they are focusing on that, and then your brain can do the kind of the image matching. It has an image from the left eye, an image from the right eye, and it goes, okay, I see this thing that looks pretty much the same in both of them, and it's at this point in this eye and this point in this eye. That means it's this far away. So that's like the normal thing. But what you can do is decouple that so that like you're focusing at a point like way beyond whatever object you're looking at, but then you're sort of like examining the image of the thing that's there. And so now your eyes are kind of just pointing very slightly off. They call it
diverging.
And they call that state, at least in the article I read, they call it being wall-eyed, which is like you're looking through a wall.
You're looking for the fish, yeah. The walleye fish.
What kind of fish is that?
I think it's a river fish. At least it was in Stardew Valley.
I see.
Video game.
Yeah, they have a lot to teach us. But so I can see how like having to decouple that normal thing and like making your brain do some like outside work, it's like, you know, having to do long division all of a sudden. Like if you were like not feeling great and I was like, okay, hey, you can't use a calculator, do all this long division by hand, you'd be like, no.
Yeah, definitely got nauseous doing long division too.
Oh, so many numbers and they're all jumping back and forth, and you gotta
spending too long on an app on my phone. Maybe my stomach's just garbage. Maybe I'm just like constantly nauseous.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel that about myself sometimes. It's like my natural state is to just feel like a heap. Is there some way I could not be? And then it's like the act of feeling good is mostly just like when I've wallpapered over that pretty well. And speaking of wallpaper, we will discuss that when we come back in a moment. It's like a Encyclopedia Brunch as it pertains to Magic Eye. Back on Encyclopedia Brunch talking about Magic Eyes, also known as auto stereograms, because
why?
Because they're a gram is like an image, a stereo is there's two of them, because it's playing with the way that your two eyes, your stereo vision, is looking at it. And then auto is that there's actually only one image, because the sort of canonical stereogram is actually two different images, and you look through a stereoscope, which forces your eyes to see two totally different things. You know, like you look through some binoculars, but there's like, you know, one image in one binocular and another image in another eye of the binocular. But an auto is that, no, there's really just one image here, but it takes advantage of some cool stuff we know from regular stereograms. And now we have entered the phase that I've been dreading of trying to explain exactly how to make a magic eye.
Take it away, Tim!
Ba-da-da-da-da-da. Now, welcome back to our third game show of the night. You know, it's like Jeopardy.
What was the second one?
It happened during the break.
Oh, okay.
It's like Jeopardy.
I was getting some water.
Yeah. Imagine it's there's Jeopardy, there's Wheel of Fortune. During commercial break, in between, they draw the lotto numbers.
I love this channel.
Yeah. So this is the Wheel of Fortune. This game being explain that magic eye mechanism. And so basically when you make a magic eye, there's like a really simple version, and I alluded to it earlier, where it's like they call it like a wallpaper stereogram. And that's the idea of like, so if you picture like old school wallpaper up on a wall somewhere, it's usually got a repeating pattern. And the idea is that you can take advantage of that stereo vision thing that we were talking about, where your two eyes look at an object and they see a similar image and they go, okay, that must be the same image. That means it's about this far away from me. Based on like how it shows up in each eye. And so what you can happen if you have a repeating pattern is that if you are looking at, say, wallpaper, let's just say with what's a cool image you want to look at? Spaceship, mushroom,
Campbell soup.
A candle soup can.
A candle soup can. Yep.
Yeah. Let's As much as I would like to do an example with a candle soup cam, which I guess is a camera taking that is making soup out of wax and candles.
Yep.
As much as I would like to give the example that way, I fear it might be hard for the listeners to follow since that thing does not exist.
I mean, just have a little imagination.
Never. So, if you just think of like a Campbell's soup can and it's repeating horizontally. So like, you know, there's just one and then, you know, maybe 10 inches to the right of that, there's another one, and then 10 inches, there's another one. If you are looking at the wall, you see, let's just say, 5 Campbell's soup cans. But if you look through the wall, you become sort of wall-eyed, then the soup cans start to blur, and the you kind of get that double vision thing going on, because your brain is having trouble figuring out which images are which, because it's got 2 images and they can't quite match on top of each other. It's not like, oh, well, that object is clearly that object. And so if you kind of keep doing that until, let's say, soup can number 3 and soup can number 4 eventually double vision over each other, then your left eye will be looking at number 3, your right eye is looking at number 4, but your brain says, oh, those are about in the same place such that they would be one object. So I'm going to pretend that's one object instead of knowing it as 3 and 4. But then, because of where your brain is focusing when that happens, it goes, well, this object must be a little bit closer than it actually is. Because, okay, so I'm pretending this like... I'm pretending that this imaginary object that is actually soup cans 3 and 4 must actually be soup can 3.5, and it is 1 foot closer to me than the wall. And that's how you get something like popping out at you. So that's like how this whole pattern thing works.
Great work, by the way.
Thanks. Incidentally, what happens is because all of those patterns kind of overlap each other and you start, they all have to have a pair to be overlapping so you can get that pop out effect. If there are 5 cans, you end up with, you actually see 7. Because the edge ones don't get an overlapping pair. They don't get like a buddy. But right. Your brain still kind of sees something there. And so what it does instead is it sees all the overlapping ones. And then it just gives you the edge ones as like freebies. It's like, well, okay, everything else I'm seeing here suggests that all these cans are here. So these must be here too. But then they kind of flicker in and out. Like if you look at a magic eye, if you try to train your brain to, or if you try to get your eyes to look at the edges of the drawing, it kind of looks a little weird. And then a lot of times like your eye flips back into its like instinctual way of going. And so that's what's happening with like a pattern like that as well. So I feel like what your brain does is a lot like what Microsoft Excel does when you've got like a big column full of equations and then you change one of the equations to be like, oh yeah, this is actually just 4, and then it like puts up a little error and it's like, hang on, this is not like all the other equations, are you sure you meant to do this? So that's kind of what's happening with your brain and a magic eye,
except you get to see a cool tiger.
Yeah, well, I mean, it depends on exactly what kind of spreadsheet you work on. Maybe it's a tiger spreadsheet. Maybe you work for Tiger Bomb. Maybe you work for Tiger Beer. Maybe you just like drawing pictures of tigers in Excel instead of in MS Paint.
I don't do any of those things.
Really?
No. Huh. I got a pretty tiger-free lifestyle going.
Really? You're living that tiger-free life? Good for you. You know, more Thank you. People are doing that. And I really think it's a good way for society to move, especially since they stopped advertising tigers to kids.
Right. Well, Tony's still out there.
That's true, but he's a tiger advertising nut. It's not like they have the cereal advertising the tiger. Cool hang out with tigers, kids.
Oh, I have misunderstood those commercials.
I mean, do you think it's like...
The cereal is so great, obviously. Like, that's intrinsically clear from the commercial. Maybe take a look at this tiger.
I'm picturing it kind of like, because he's the one like advertising it, right? So I feel like it's like one of those like small town local, like, you know, I don't know, rug store or something, things where it's like, hi, Tony the Tiger here, and I'm telling you, I'm the best tiger salesman out there. You want to get a piece of me. It's Crazy Tony here, ready to...
Well, that's how we got to start, sure.
Yeah. All right. Tony the Tiger, tiger commercial. Tony the Tiger's tigers, commercial take one. Clap. Hi, Tony the Tiger here. Sorry, I know I'm supposed to start that way. Where am I going from here? Can we, you know, why don't we just get like a bunch of chyrons and like words flying everywhere?
Yeah. Yeah. Here. And I'm going to wear this cool scarf.
All right. This is going to be a great start. And then what? He was plucked by some producer or something. Be like, that's our star.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is he's actually Terry the Tiger. His father was Tony the Tiger. But Tony the Tiger became so like just ubiquitous. That Terry adapted his name professionally. I mean, in his personal life, he still obviously goes by Terry.
Right. So it's like a...
But just Terry, not Terry the Tiger.
It's a Charlie Sheen, Martin Sheen situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What's their real last name? It's Estevez?
I don't know.
I think that's right, because Emilio Estevez is also Charlie Sheen's brother.
What is happening in this world? That's crazy. I had no idea.
Really?
No idea.
Yeah, I looked it up once. They're Spanish in heritage. Yeah, they just decided too ethnic is what someone probably told Martin Sheen at some point.
Right. And then Emilio's like, I can do something with this.
Yeah. He's like,
also my first name.
You know what they tend to hire people who have Latin sounding names for? Movies about ice hockey.
Cool runnings.
Not
Latin, but people who you wouldn't think would be bobsledding are bobsledding is the whole pitch to that movie.
That means true. I guess that was a real thing, right? Like there was a Jamaican
bobsled
team?
That really happened. Yeah.
And it was not like the Mighty Ducks where it really happened, but after the movie, like first the thing happened and the movie was made.
I mean, the Mighty Ducks never won the Junior Olympic Games.
That's true. First off, Junior Goodwill Games. Let's not have some copyright issues.
Excuse me.
Secondly, I think they've had very good seasons in the NHL. And they probably would win the Junior Olympics were they to enter, because they're a team of professional hockey players.
Well, that's a Mighty Ducks 3 situation then.
I don't remember what happens in the third one.
I don't know if there is a third one.
There's definitely a third one. It's the one where they all sign contracts and move to Anaheim. Then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not a film so much as a thing that happened.
Yeah. I'm really glad Emilio Estevez got all that work, both as an actor and then as a coach for a professional NHL team. Let's see. And further work that Emilio Estevez could get in some future place, because we here at Encyclopedia Brunch do not distinguish based on last name. We would happily give Emilio Estevez the job of creating magic eyes. And we're going to go do that, I guess. I don't know. Back in a moment. Encyclopedia
Later, guys.
Brunch. And we're back on Encyclopedia Brunch talking about Magic Eye, those dots that confuse you. Magic Eye. So they're dots for a reason. So we talked earlier about how like you could have these Campbell soup cans and they're arranged in a pattern, and if you can get your brain to kind of like double vision them over each other, then you can like your brain will misunderstand what plane they are resting in, and they will appear to be the entire can will seem to be further or closer from you. But a magic eye thing is like a cool shark, right? And it's a 3D image. It's not just like, you know, a flat thing that is a little closer to you. It's like a whole 3D thing, right?
Yeah.
So
it's got planes.
Right. Well, a lot of planes. So the way this is done is with a pattern. With what they call a random dot pattern. And so instead of having just like 5 Campbell soup cans, instead you have this repeating, you have an image. And it's built up of just random dots in a random way, with different colors and different whatever. The more confusing to the eye, the better. Then you repeat that pattern, you know, like, I don't know, 100 times or something across the page in the magic eye. But you also, and you do this with a computer because it'd be pretty hard to do by hand, is you shift that pattern slightly so that, like, let's say in the first one, it's just normal. All the dots are where you put them. But in the second one, you take a little bit of it and you shift, you know, if it's a circle, which is the example that they give a lot, is you draw a little circle inside that and you shift every single dot inside that circle. You sort of just copy it and then paste it over like 10 pixels. And even though that sort of ends up disrupting the pattern, there's so many random dots and stuff that your brain is like, eh, I'm just going to like round that to not noticing it. But what you do notice, because your brain is so like hardwired at matching objects that look the same between your two eyes, is you do get that effect where your brain goes like, oh, well, this random green dot I'm seeing here must be the same as this other random green dot I'm seeing a little further over. And so this must be the same thing. And so it changes the plane. But because you have all these random dots and you're able to do it like on a pixel by pixel basis, because you're using a computer, instead of just like overlapping two things and misunderstanding the plane there, your brain overlaps, it overlaps the distance of the pattern, but the plane seems to shift because the distance between the two things that your brain is trying to match is constantly changing. So like it sees a green dot and then with its left eye and another green dot with its right eye, and it goes, oh, those are, you know, that is close enough that it must be 5 inches from my face. But then exactly to the right of that, there'll be a blue dot, and its shift is slightly different from its counterpoint blue dot. And your brain goes, oh, well, that's actually 5.2 inches from my face.
So you get these multiple layers.
Yeah. And then if you do that at a fine enough level, which you can do because there's just a million little dots because it's a magic eye and it's way trippy, you can actually like draw a 3D shape. And that's how you get a magic eye with a...
Gotcha. Yeah. And like the computer generated aspect, I didn't really think about this until you were saying this just now, but like, oh yeah, of course this was extremely popular in the early to mid 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is when like computers get just good and cheap enough where you could do frivolous nonsense like this and then print it out. But they're not quite good enough where you can't do like CGI images yet, but you can do this kind of like, this is a cool thing some researcher found once.
Yeah, basically. I mean, so this was invented in the 70s, like the concept itself. And it all had to do with research about, it's actually pretty interesting research about how your brain perceives things in the world. And so like, so the proof that like all of this research, the fundamental research found when it's like, oh, if you look at this one thing and another thing, and then we like trick your brain into overlapping two images, is that the 3D world happens inside your brain, not in your eyes. Like, because your brain constructs a 3D world based on two flat images it's getting, not, you know, not what's going on with your eyes. Which incidentally, I guess is just how we're getting virtual reality now too. It's kind of an extension of that idea. But because it doesn't have to be 3D, you can show you anything, and just so long as like your brain, it's done in this tricky way where your brain will like round it into being a 3D object, it'll be a 3D object to you. But yeah, and so then in the late 70s, and then kind of throughout the 80s, people keep building more complex ways of doing this and pulling in more and more computing power, like you're talking about, until in 1991. Yeah, we're exactly at that sweet point, the sweet, sweet, sweet point where...
the sweet life of magic and eye.
Where...
Oh, come on. That was a weird thing to say, Tim. You're just going to keep going? Look at this bait I'm laying out for you. This weird co-host thing to say bait.
No, I kept trying to move on, but my brain was like, no, go back to that. It's weird. So, like, is it, like, Magic the card game, or is it, like, magic? Is it, like, there's, like...
Magic the concept that lives on in the heart of children everywhere.
Right. Plus eyes, yeah. Which lives on...
Sauron. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, he was a wizard, I believe. A sorcerer?
I don't know. I believe he was once a man.
Oh, but then became something else.
Something more, yeah.
You never see Sauron, right? It's just an eye?
I don't think... you do see him, I believe, in Return of the King.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
that's right. He's just like in a crazy armor or something.
Crazy,
right?
Black armor guy. Yeah. 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 You cares? Find him in Shadow of Mordor.
Oh, wow. That's a game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, that's an experience that I had.
I don't know. It could be a place, I guess. You know how like there'll be like, I don't know,
second video game I've referenced. Look at me.
Tacoma
really
Falls.
Cashing in my video game creds.
Yeah, you're nearly out. I think you should be careful about that. What if you want to talk about ICO
more
later?
Tokens, it's fine.
How do you get the tokens? You win a video game?
You put $5 in the coin machine.
Oh, this is not a great system for you. I'm really worried. I mean, so this is exactly the kind of thing when we talked about the 90s, being like, this is all kind of sitting together for me. I'm going to arcades. I'm spending too much money to get like some crappy junk that seems really, really important to me. And yeah, looking at Magic Eyes, and it all feels super important. In a lot of ways, because it allows me to enter a different world, you know, like I have my agency to get things and play games and to envision a crazy 3D realm where anything is possible. There's sharks and dinosaurs and boats and airplanes and tigers, and they're all made up of strange textures.
Many of those things are not crazy and normal.
Yeah, but they have strange textures. I mean, so really, like, this is the thing that always really fascinated me about Magic Eye, is that it was so similar to all of the other computer-generated stuff that was going on in the 90s when I was a kid, because, it was like, we can show this 3D shape, but it's, like, made up of a series of balls very clearly, and we don't really have texture mapping yet, and so it's just sort of like a weird tessellation is over the top of it, and also the floor is a matte gray, and it's extending endlessly into a black background. And that I found incredibly fascinating, because it was just like, I don't know, I guess I can play with these structures, or I don't know, I'm not sure exactly what it was, but like, I guess it was like that it was like simple, like quite simple, so you totally get your head around it, but also like complex enough to be like, shapes. I don't know, did you have this feeling at all looking at those like old computer renderings?
I know exactly what you're talking about. It does have that quality of like a real low rent computer generated image.
Yeah.
just no polygons. I don't know what that means really, but here we are. But like, so you say like, what's so amazing to you is how crappy it is? It's kind of what I'm hearing.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, kind of having talked it out a little bit, I think maybe it's that it is simple enough for me to apply my imagination to it. Like, it's not a fully realized world, and so it's not just handed to me. I think maybe that's what I loved as a kid, was that it was just like, what could this crazy shark that's swimming in midair be doing? Like, what if he meets, like, this, like, weird Lisa Frank design? And, like, rides a roller coaster?
I wonder, MagicEye.com, they have a monthly contest, and it's more of a sweepstakes than a contest. You enter the sweepstakes, and then if you win, somebody wins every month, and then you get a free MagicEye product. And so in exchange for these sweepstake winnings, they get a testimonial. And just some of these testimonials are really beautiful. And I wonder if we'll be able to pick out some common themes about why people like MagicEyes.
So to be clear, before we start, I love this idea. But before we start, this is concurrent. Like, this is happening now in 2017.
Now in 2017, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Not tired of MagicEye, huh?
I guess not. They're real easy to make.
Yeah, that's true. Once you have that process down, it's all just...
Yeah, you just run it through your program.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's just like, you have to have a grayscale image that you want to be the thing that's 3D. And then the other thing is just like random dots or like a shape.
It seems like the actual methodology to make the Magic Eye, the process to do it, they kind of try to keep under wraps, trade secrety. They don't really want to share it or anything. They're one of their FAQ, frequently asked questions, was, is there a computer program to make our own Magic Eyes? And they were like, oh, no, we'll reconsider this at some point in the future.
Well, why would you want that? it's a bit of a thing for you to ask. Ask,
what a strange question.
What a strange little girl you are. Go on.
Almost as strange as my friend Tina Yuan from Davidson, North Carolina, who writes, I love Magic Eye, and I flip through my Magic Eye book every night before I go to bed. I always have good dreams because of this.
Interesting. I mean, let's see. Flip to the. I mean, yeah, that it does feel a bit like being sent off to Dream World. No, is that?
I guess so. I think Tina's reaching.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I always have good dreams because I flip through the same book every single night.
I don't know. Why not? I mean,
maybe I have no magic in my heart.
Right.
Angel Ramirez from Fonana, California. I don't know how to pronounce anything, by the way. Magic is awesome. I definitely enjoy the fact that I can brag about how easy I can see it.
That is a thing with magic eye, right? Is that like there's like this whole like otherwise completely meaningless skill hierarchy. How good are you?
Yeah.
How good are you at decoupling your eye's natural instinct to make the world make sense? That was a plot point on at least a couple of different sitcoms that I remember in the 90s, because I guess it was very trendy, the magic eyes. And it was like, I can't see it.
Yeah, and it drives one character like Chandler or something crazy.
Like that. Hard to imagine bragging about it, but I don't know, I guess. Sure. You know what? Whatever skills you have, put that on the resume.
You're a little bit too open-hearted this evening. Douglas Noss from a place in Michigan that I'm having a real hard time pronouncing. Y-P-S-I? L-A-N-T-I?
This is Ypsilanti.
Ypsilanti? Is that how you say that?
Yeah. I think I might have heard Ypsilanti sometimes. But yeah, that's a place sometimes referenced on television shows when they're trying to reference the Midwest.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Midwest.
Also, it's a place where people live and I'm sure carry out very meaningful lives. I just haven't been there. I know it from television shows.
Meaningful lives with their magic eyes, you mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Obviously. How else would you get those good dreams?
For example, Douglas writes, I have always loved you guys ever since I was a kid. Did I ever try to get my friends to try to see what I could?
Hmm.
Thank you for existing. Totally awesome. So I really like this one because there's a sense of just really seeking community and seeking to be understood, seeking to be seen and to see the magic eye. I just feel like the magic eye is a beautiful metaphor in this, like, two sentences.
Seeking to be seen and to see the magic eye. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's like, what's interesting about the magic eye is because it depends on the viewer being in a particular state. It really highlights how, like, we all generate the worlds in our own head. And if you want to share that experience, you can't rely on our sort of natural social structures to drive us into, like, oh, no. Yeah. It's not like, you know, let's just say a sports team. A sports team is sort of built around taking advantage of all our natural social instincts to be like, oh, yeah, we're all having the same experience. And the magic eye is like, it's a disruptor. It's like throwing that out and being like, we're all different. You build the world in your head. We have no evidence anyone else is even real, let alone this 3D shark. Ah!
What's it doing? Where is it swimming?
So yeah, I can see that. But that, what that makes happen is that when other people see it, it's rewarding. It's, yes, my mental image is validated.
Yes.
I, too, bring valid experience to the world. Like, my version is meaningful.
Yeah, that's a good feeling.
I create universes in my head. You create them in your head. Let's get together. Let's hang out.
Yeah, that's how the podcast started.
Yeah, I guess so. It's a real magic eye of a podcast.
It sure is. It sure is. If you stare at it long enough, you might learn something. But you really got to put some work in.
Yeah.
Can I read one more?
Yeah.
Okay. This one is a little bit on the longer side. It's a few sentences, but I want to play a little bit of a game. And that is, finish my sentence.
Okay.
Okay. I grew up using them in my...
Oh, hang on. We didn't do the theme song for the fourth game show of this podcast.
Oh, excuse me.
Doop, doop, finish the sentence. Bow, bow, bow.
Magic Eye Edition.
All right, welcome to Finish My Sentence. Question one.
I grew up using them in my elementary school library. I could easily see the images from the first time I used the books, but I haven't used them in years. And now that I just graduated high school, I realize how fast I'm growing up and think that the Magic Eye books would be a perfect way to...
recapture my misspent youth.
Basically, yeah. Okay. Kind of got it in one there. Revisit my childhood, which I think is a weird thing for somebody who's just graduating high school to say.
I don't know. We forget what it's like, right? Like
we, yeah. Don't know what it's like. Who wrote that song? Is that Sugar Ray?
Everlast? Are you talking about Everlast?
Yeah, I think I am.
Yeah.
Then you really might know what it's like.
Yeah, if I walk a mile in those shoes. Those shoes are popping out at me. I also like that she says she used to use the books, because you have to, the books are but a tool.
Yeah, you use the books. You don't read the books. It's Greg Johnson from Horseheads, New York, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Wrote that.
Does he go on, or?
That's all.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think I was reflecting a little on like why for me it is such a like elementary school library thing, and clearly Greg Johnson as well. And I kind of came to the idea that it had a lot to do with the fact that, yeah, it was just like marketed and kind of a fad at that time, mm-hmm. Which is like, I don't know, it's kind of weird how so much nostalgia is built out of like targeted marketing practices. But
I was looking for the client list. Looking at the client list, like it's not complete by any means, but for magiceye.com, just everybody. Nestle's, Campbell's Soup, the food one was especially interesting to me, but also I was kind of hungry when I was reading this, so that might be related.
Sure.
Just Disney, just literally everyone has had a Magic Eye. LabCorp?
Oh, yeah.
The, like, lab supply company?
No, I think LabCorp is the one that does, like, medical testing, right?
Oh, right. They're the urine test guys.
Yeah, you go pee in a cup, and then we make it into a cool 3D sketch.
Apparently. That's the world we're living in now.
So when you say the client list, you mean someone comes to the Magic Eye brand, which, by the way, my Magic Eye is a, I think they used to be called Anything Enterprises.
Not a great name. And we know something about starting off with not great names.
Yeah.
Encyclopedia Brunch.
But then they eventually rebranded as just the Magic Eye Company because they had trademarked this like super awesome thing that was blowing up. But now we sort of have genericized auto stereograms to just be called Magic Eyes. So you're saying someone comes to the Magic Eye Company and they're like, hey, we want to use, we want a picture that is Magic Eyed. We want to use like whatever it is, be it. A LabCorp testing device or Elsa from some Disney thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
We want a puzzle on the back of our cereal box.
I don't know if that's a puzzle. That's like a...
It is a puzzle.
Yeah, you're right. You have to achieve something. Again, you use it. It is a tool.
You certainly don't read it.
But I also wonder, so Greg from Whitehorse, New York, did you say?
Horseheads, New York.
Yeah, Whitehorse Heads.
Never heard of it.
Well, they're popping out at you if you unfocus your eyes. That was written quite recently, I take it.
Past couple of years.
Yeah, so that person wouldn't have been leaving high school the same time as me. So maybe it's also just that the Magic Eye really stands out to kids because, I don't know, because it's fun. It's kind of cool to see like magical worlds hidden inside of stuff.
Or just really mundane worlds.
Yeah, they're pretty, I mean, you know, here's a broom.
Shark, plane, boat.
Yeah, okay.
How are you? How are you feeling about this upcoming week?
About Magic
Eyes. Going to experience.
Pretty good. I don't know, I kind of feel like it took me a little while to understand how a Magic Eye really works. But now that I do, I feel like I could write that and I could be a millionaire if I just traveled back into 1989.
Oh, I'm sure they're very litigious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to be the Biff of the Magic Eye industry?
Yes, that's the plan. First.
All right, cool.
First, I get a time machine. Then I steal a sports almanac that you have to cross your eyes to see just right about what's written
right.
there.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. You get a Mercedes or something. What did he do?
I don't think it was a Mercedes.
What was so bad about the Biff verse?
He was modeled. Future Biff was modeled off of Donald Trump.
Yeah, so that was what was so bad about the Biff verse. Great.
Yeah, I mean, oh my goodness, his poor mom, poor what's her face? Who is that actress? Plays Marty McFly's mom.
Don't know.
She was also in Howard the Duck.
Leah Thompson. That's right. So he was mean to Leah Thompson, which is reason enough for the Biff verse to be a terrible place.
Well, no, he like just he really objectified her.
It's bad. That's bad.
He like made her wear like all kinds of revealing clothes and was really just mistreated her.
Very Princess Leia golden bikini with the Jabba the Hutt thing too.
A little bit, a little bit. Yeah, Donald Trump is kind of
a Jabba the Hutt
Jabba the Hutt type figure in our lives. Yeah.
Well, we're just gonna have to keep working on that one.
You ever read Jabba the Hutt's backstory?
No.
It's quite tragic.
Did he get a couple million dollar loan from his father?
Well.
Robba the Hutt? I don't know.
I mean, if you watch Phantom Menace, he has a wife.
Really? Oh, because they all come out and watch the pod race.
Yeah, they
Beautiful
all watch
day
the pod
for
race.
A pod race.
Yep, guess so.
All right.
Beautiful day to watch some blue balls bounce around, because this is all CGI and none of it's here.
Yeah, I mean, just like Magic Eye, it's all just bouncing around. Yeah, I mean, do you think, are you going to spend any time looking at Magic Eyes in your future?
I don't know. I think I will at some point, because I want to see if it's just a bad night for me, if I'm just having an off night, or if I really have lost the power.
That'd be so sad. I kind of like the idea of, like, every night before I go to bed, looking at some dreamscapes. Seems nice.
Okay, well, we'll get you Magic Eye 3. It was on the New York Times bestseller list.
Wow. Yeah, more than I can say. But I'll get on it. I'll write my own Magic Eye and then try not to get sued.
Ooh, sounds like you have an exciting project ahead of you this week.
Absolutely. What are you going to do?
I was going to watch some Netflix.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is it 3D?
Yes.
Okay, so you have to, like, cross your eyes the whole time. Cool. Well, enjoy getting your eyes straight back whichever way you need them. Until then, that's Catherine Kogert over there.
Tim Dobbs over here.
Bye.
Bye.